Did you know back in 1845 that Steamboat was actually Texas? And every year for 22 consecutive years, they have sold out Steamboat Music Fest. It's going to sell out again. This is Bree Bagwell inviting you to the coolest music fest in Steamboat, Colorado. It happens every January. You've seen it. Have you not been? What are you waiting for? It is the original Texas Music Festival with over 50 bands in the Texas and Red Dirt music scene. You never know. Kevin Fowler might be just eating lunch next to you one day. With the Steamboat Music Fest package, you get 6 days of mountainside lodging, 4 days of lift passes, one night lift pass. Don't miss out. You're going to have so much FOMO if you're watching on social media. So just go to themusicfest.com, sign up for that email newsletter. You can get on the wait list. You never know. Steamboat Music Fest, down home, up high. Come get real with us. Steamboat Music Fest. Hey, this is Bree Bagwell with Only Vans Podcast, and I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend time worrying about things like taxes and bookkeeping and the IRS. I'm from a family of accountants, so take my word for it. You need someone that is specialized in Texas taxes, and Lakeside Tax and Bookkeeping are pro QuickBooks advisors, and Stacey has been doing this for over 25 years. Girl knows what she's doing, and I just did all my sales taxes. Just trust me, get someone who knows what they're doing to help you. In addition, Stacy is an enrolled agent of the IRS. That sounds fancy because it is, and it means you won't be getting in trouble with the IRS. Go to lakesidetax.com today and sign up with my girl Stacy and get the IRS tax and bookkeeping help that you need. Are you even, I was telling Kyle, I was like, I've tried to give Ryder alcohol so many times, I think. Are you even 21? And I'm sorry. I was like, hey, Ryder, it's, you want some whiskey?
No, we'll keep that a mystery.
Okay.
I like to keep it a mystery.
Well, you don't know when this podcast is going to come out.
Exactly.
So
I don't. Not that I'm not doing anything I shouldn't be. We'll keep that a mystery.
Okay.
Let the people decide, because let me tell you what. I have gotten, and this blows my mind, I used to be like, tell my age, but now I won't, because it's just funny to see what people guess.
Hey, hey, everybody, this is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Because, you know, when you own things with motors in them that, like, are meant for transportation that aren't cars, they break.
Yeah.
Just like y'all had the air conditioner, whatever problem y'all had at Whitewater, it's always something on RVs, buses, whatever you have. Mm-hmm. I feel like you always got something that's going to break.
And it's always $1,000. Like, I just got the AC fixed.
Oh, of
and,
course.
And it was, I financed the repair package. And so they were like, hey, if you buy this repair package, anything for 4 years is a $200 deductible. And I was like, rad. Generator breaks. And they're like, well, the carburetor doesn't count. So it was $1,000. I was like, wait.
Of course, yeah.
That
light switch could go out and it would be $1,000. I mean, even if it's not, they're going to find a way to make it $1,000. I mean, that's just how
I know
this life is.
But you were in the van because your bus broke, right?
The generators decided they weren't going to cooperate.
Yeah.
See, okay, I feel like we're already on the podcast.
Oh, we're doing
I
it.
I just ramble.
We're rolling.
We're on?
Oh, yeah, nice. We're going. I like to just not tell anybody
well,
that
nice.
We started.
I hope I didn't say nothing offensive.
Oh, no, I did at the beginning, but Kyle knows what to edit out.
Good.
He's.
Well, I mean, like, when you deal with something like buses, our bus came from an airplane pilot, and they always say that buses and boats are like airplanes. Always make sure you have a replacement part for them. Well, the guy put two generators on our bus, which is a clever idea. But in Texas in the summertime, that's not enough airflow for, you know, I'm not a bus mechanic. So bus mechanics, if you watch this, don't come attack me. But there's not enough airflow in our bays where the two generators are. And we only run one at a time. But that's two big metal objects in one bay. That's not that big if you think about it. And yeah, I just was not getting airflow. And we all know what no air conditioner in the summertime feels like. So.
Yeah, I had just played Whitewater. Was that the day after Whitewater? I can't remember. But the generator went out, and it was so hot in this RV. Like, we even got to Whitewater where they have power for us. They have shore power there. We plugged in, but it was so hot it wouldn't cool down in here. And I couldn't change my pants. Like, I couldn't physically take off my own pants because I was so sweaty. And I was like, I go on stage in 28 minutes, and I can't get my pants off. And I was like, this is the rock star.
It's the rock
lifestyle. And then when we played with you at Sundance Head's event, we were saying who got the least amount of sleep, and I think you got less sleep that
than we did that.
It was, yeah, it was. Yeah, I remember that. It was a tie, I think, honestly, because we came from Wichita Falls and went down to New Caney. And the night before, it was just me, our utility player, and my tour manager in the van. Everybody else met us there. And it's like, okay, like, yeah, Wichita Falls is only like 2 hours from my house. This ain't going to be that bad. Well, we were with Mike Ryan that night, and obviously they're on a bus. But where they had us parked, the buses and rigs and production trucks were all parked alongside the stage. So you could not leave until the crowd left. So we were there until 1 a.m., and I'm like, oh, we're going to get out of here at like 10 o'clock. Like, we're going to go home and get some good rest. No, we did not do that. We left at about 1:30 a.m. because we went to the hotel and shower and stuff because it was the first week of summer and it was brutal. And, yeah, we got home about 5 that morning and woke up at 7 to come to New Caney. So
that's insane. I know. Anytime you think you're going to get rest, something happens. Like, something goes down where you're like, we're going to get a bunch of sleep. And then, nope, absolutely not.
Well, that was me on the bus. I mean, y'all kind of have this similar bunk set up. It's like, oh, yeah, we got beds now. Like, we're going to sleep. And I get more sleep in the van than I do in that thing. And you would think it'd get better, but honestly, I really feel like that if it's your responsibility, you get less sleep because you're always wondering, all right, what's going to break next?
Absolutely. Even if it's cold and quiet in here, I'm, like, doing math in my head.
Yeah, it's like you always have to prepare for the next problem. Like, you can't peacefully enjoy it because it's like, all right, let me prepare for the next thing that's going to break. Let me add a zero to this.
I know. And I always talk about how I feel like I'm always asking people for money, and it's exhausting. Like, that's our whole lives. They're like, buy my record, buy my merch, hire us for this private party, sponsor me. Because it really is, like, the amount of expenses just for the RV are insane.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we're getting out of the bus thing. It was nice while it lasted, but it's an expensive ball game right now. I mean, and it never was not expensive, but it is extra expensive right now. Mm-hmm. Just because, I mean, just everything adds up. I mean, honestly, in any vehicle you drive, everything adds up. But I feel like when it's at that level, it's like, all right, our crew is a lot smaller, so we'll just go back to it. I think we're going to do the Sprinter thing next, which...
Nice. Good luck.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like you and Sprinters and a bunch of other people in Sprinters aren't the best combo. Yeah. Go ahead and give me a little bit of the fair warning, because I saw your Instagram post a few weeks ago. Just give me the fair warning, like everybody else has, what the glorious Sprinter life is like. Well, not the comfort, just the other side of things. Just go ahead and tell me.
I think I personally bought a lemon, or... the person that helped me find it put some sort of like witch's curse on it or something, because it was actually the worst one that they, I don't think they're all as bad as mine was.
Yeah.
I bought it used, and I don't know what the person before me with terrible bad karma did to it or something, but it was just bad. But also I live in a place that it's hard to repair them. Like, nobody here in New Braunfels could. So I was driving it, you know, an hour and a half one way to go get it repaired and stuff. That was pretty tough. But I mean, this one, it's pretty hilarious, because this one, just when I thought it couldn't get any worse, it started leaking from the roof really badly.
It wouldn't be an RV if it didn't have a roof leak.
No, the Sprinter.
Oh, the Sprinter
did.
The
Sprinter.
I thought you were talking about this.
No, this one's not leaking yet. I was just looking at it.
Well, I hope I didn't just put bad karma
on this. I know.
Look,
if this leaks from the roof next week,
it's
coming after
fault.
You. But Braxton and Keith, they had problems with something there that they were driving, so they rented mine for a weekend, and apparently they took off in it, and their drummer was asleep in the front bench, and they took that first turn out of here, and the whole roof just dumped like gallons of water. Like, it's not a little leak, it's like it'll hold the water and then it'll dump buckets right all over his drummer. I wish we would have gotten that on film, but I think I sold it.
You think?
It is no longer in my possession. I haven't received the money yet, but I think I'm going to get the money.
Well,
for
there
it,
you
so.
Go. Well, no, and the reason why I even said that, I'm completely fine with a Sprinter. I think they're great, and I think they're very comfortable for what they are. But where I was going with that is, it seems like every person I know has an issue with it, and it's like, okay, like, is this? Do I just stick it out in the Chevy van? Like, I will do it in the Chevy van. I've done it for a long time, but it's like, do I make the jump to a Sprinter because I think it looks cool and will be more comfortable? We just ride it in the Chevy. And, yeah, because I was talking to one guy. He's like, yeah, I went to get diesel in it the other day, and I turned it off. And I went to start it, and the key fob would not connect. It's like, oh Lord, like, is it worth it? Like, I want one really bad, but it's like, do I just ride it out until?
Yeah, I have a group text,
you know,
with the motor cars, and all it is sprinter problems, you know? And the last repair I made was some sort of sensor that I've never heard of, and it was $4,500.
Of course.
But I think they're not really as much meant to pull trailers, and you might have a bigger engine one than I did. They don't enjoy, I think if you can not take a trailer as much as possible, that's where the sprinters thrive. And I never built mine out. That was the plan,
yeah.
And then COVID hit, so I never had bunks or anything in mind, so they can be pretty cool.
See, we were going to – I know Austin Mead's got one for sale right now. It's kind of rigged out like this, and I'm thinking about it, but there's also just – there's multiple different ways. I know Bart Crow had a pretty legit built-out sprinter setup that he did himself. It's like, okay, there's a bunch of different options, but now that you say that about the trailer, we are at a spot where we have to pull a trailer,
yeah.
And we pull a very heavy trailer.
Yeah.
So, especially now, I mean, the trailer we were pulling at Flooded With Love was – way lighter compared to what it's about to be. It's like, okay, like, maybe not do that now that you say that. Who knows? I mean, there's so many options to explore with it. You never
totally.
Know.
This thing pulls like a dream.
That's good, yeah.
This RV has an 8,000-pound towing capacity, just for anyone who's really interested in RV towing capacity. I feel like my audience is like, what are you telling me about this towing capacity? But it's a giant deal, and Austin Mead actually came to look at my sprinter, and or his guy, mechanic guy, came to look at it, and he ran the code reader on my sprinter. 51 codes.
Oh, wow.
51 codes on the code reader. I think, and the guy, he was laughing so hard. He's like, I think this has got to be a record. And so I actually didn't sell it to Austin Mead, mostly because he's my friend and I didn't want to.
Yeah, you don't want to put that off on your friend. That sounds like a lemon.
It was a lemon.
It does sound like you did get a lemon.
But best of luck. Listen, we're going to have a part two of this podcast, and you can come back and tell me.
Exactly. When we go to one, if we break down, which I don't know. If we got Austin's, which I don't know if we are, but I've talked to him about it on the DMs of Instagram, and you never know. Who knows?
He's a diesel, like, sprinter mechanic. Like, Austin Mead can do everything.
Austin is?
Yes.
I know Austin. I mean, I see his Instagram post him working on the bus all the time.
Yeah, he can do anything.
It seems like he's quite the talented guy. I mean, I love his music, but it sounds like he's more talented on, you know, other ends as well. So,
well,
cool stuff.
I mean, could you imagine if we could work on things? Like, that's, if I could do two things, it would be, if I was a singer, I would also be a diesel mechanic.
Oh, that, same.
That's what I would choose to be.
And originally, before I got into singing, I wanted to go to the mechanic school and learn how to be a diesel mechanic. Now I wish I would have.
He has hair like you used to have.
He does have hair like I used to have.
What happened to that hair? And did you just realize, like me, that having long hair on the road in Texas is a really, it's its own project. It's difficult. And is that what happened, or you just changed it?
It was a mix of both. It was a lot of, I was just kind of tired of it. Like, I feel like when I had it, long hair on guys specifically, like, wasn't as popular. Like, Co had it, and a few others did, but not a lot of people did. And then, you know, as time went on, and, you know, trends evolve and things happen, everybody started growing it. And it's like, okay, cool, like, dude, you do you. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, I've had this for, like, 5 years. It's starting to get hot. Like, you know, people have seen me. Like, maybe it's time to change it. And we played Texas Music Revolution Fest at the beginning of June. And the week of the show, I'm like, you know what? I called my hairdresser. Yes, I have a hairdresser.
I love that.
I called her. I said, hey, it's time. That's literally what I said in the text, and she knew what it was. She said, all right, are you sure? And I said, yes. Like, I've debated it, like, a lot. Like, is it time? And I'm like, no, I want it. Like, I want to hold on to it. Because I would wear it in a ponytail all the time. And I'm like, you know, like, I have this long hair, but it's like I never wear it down. It's getting hot. It's getting hard to maintain. I think it's time. And we finally made the difficult decision that it was time to cut it and go for something new. And honestly, it was nice to change it, because I feel like, one, it helped my audience grow a little bit, because it's like, oh, this guy's unique. Like, he changed his hairstyle for once. And, you know, I've had the same hairstyle for 6 years, and I'm a big fashion kind of, like, guy. Like, I really, not necessarily roll with the trends, but just kind of roll with my own kind of style. I dig that. So it's like, okay, let me go change my style up and shock everybody. And it did. It worked. We gained a bunch of followers because I cut my hair. I'm like, I never would have thought that would have been the help I needed to boost my Spotify numbers, but it did. So, yeah, I think it was a mix, really, of, one, the maintenance. Yes, I just said maintenance and hair in the same sentence.
Listen, I'm driving that train. I mean,
there's a lot to it, and it's just like I have this good hair, and it's like I wasn't keeping up with it. I mean, you have to maintain long hair, and I learned that the hard way.
Yeah, I hate you now that you just got to go cut yours off. Like, that's what I would love. I should just do it. You've motivated me. I'm just going to.
Well, I mean.
Kylie. That's my hairdresser.
If it's time to do it, it's time to do it. You no. have good hair, though. Mine was just thick, and it was a mess. Like, you know how to take care of your hair. I have beautiful and luscious hair. Somebody please make a meme of that. I give you full access to all of my old Instagram posts to go make a meme of that. Anyway, let me not talk about that too much or somebody will.
Well, anyway, I
just didn't know how to maintain. I didn't know how to do it. I had this hair, and it's like, okay, it's always tangled, or I'm wearing it in a bun. Like, it's time. Just cut it off. So I did. And there we go. Here we are.
I love it.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Oh, hi. This is Cindy Howes from Basic Folk, and here's what's happening on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network. Only Vans, a Texas country music pod with rock star host Bree Bagwell, recently welcomed Matt Hillier.
You sang a song nobody had ever heard, and you kept going, come on, everybody, sing it with me.
You know the words.
It was the best.
On Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians, myself and co-host Lizzie Noh recently featured John Moreland.
Some of the lyrics are like, you seem to know some things you must have overheard. It sounds like it's talking about a lover. A couple minutes into the song, he's talking about a smartphone, and it just creeped me out so hard that I got a flip phone too.
Wow. And finally, the String Dusters' Travis Book is hosting the Travis Book Happy Hour, live music and conversation from guests like Trey Hensley.
Just listening to Earl Scruggs play the banjo or play the guitar, you always knew it was him. There was always those people that played, and you immediately, within a few seconds of hearing their instrument, knew it was them.
Hear it all and more on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or wherever you get podcasts.
Hi there, my name's Jarrett Reddick. You may know me as Bree Bagwell's very best friend. But I'm also the singer for the band Bowling for Soup. I release country music under my name Jarrett Ray Reddick. I'm the guy that sings the Phineas and Ferb theme song. Oh, and I do a podcast called Rockstar Dad Show. Each week, myself and the drummer for Bowling for Soup, Gary, talk about being dads. We talk to other dads. Sometimes they're rock stars, comedians, actors, neighbors. One time we even had a mom on the show. If you like to laugh, if you're a dad, if you've ever had a dad or ever wanted a dad, this is the show for you. Rockstar Dad Show, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
Well, let me just say that, it's great. I just think that as an artist, you should be able to change your image. And when I came out of COVID, I let my hair grow out naturally, and my natural hair color is a very dark brown. I didn't know that. Not a natural blonde. Go figure. And people lost their minds. They hated my hair so much. Or they would stand in line and say, like, you never looked good as a blonde, or you look way better as a blonde, or like, how could you do that to your hair? Like, it was so weird. My hair became this whole topic that I was like,
mine was a topic for a long time. I'm like, hey, I also have music.
That's exactly how I felt.
I'm not hating on it. I mean, I appreciate it, but it's like everybody's talking about my hair. I'm like I'm a musician too. Like, go check out my stuff. And all fun and games on that. But I mean, it's seriously hair became a topic, and it's like, mm-hmm. okay, like, you know, I was all about pleasing people, and it's like, you know, just go do it.
Yeah.
Take a step. It was kind of that deal, like coming out of my shell. And this is exactly what I told the people that ask about it. I'm like, you know, hair was kind of like my security blanket. I'm going to say that. And, you know, it's cutting it has really inspired me to go take the step to get in shape, lose weight, you know, kind of change my style, change my image. It really brought my self-confidence back. So I'm very excited about it. And it's really opened a lot of doors in my personal life. So,
great.
You know, sometimes a change of style is the way to go. And
it's
I'm really glad I did.
It's a symbol of freedom.
Yes, it
I'm
is.
I'm here for that. I love
Gotta
that.
Gotta do it.
I like it much better than two people. Kyle was there. I think that like two dudes were like fighting, and I thought they were talking about like Trump Biden, and they were talking about whether I looked better as a brunette or a blonde, and they were like angry about it. It was so strange.
That's odd.
But are you even? I was telling Kyle, I was like, I've tried to give Ryder alcohol so many times. I think, are you even 21? And I'm sorry. I was like, hey, Ryder, you want some whiskey?
No, we'll keep that a mystery.
Okay.
I like to keep it a mystery.
Well, you don't know when this podcast is going to come out.
Exactly.
So
I don't. Not that I'm not doing anything I shouldn't be. We'll keep that a mystery.
Okay.
Let the people decide, because let me tell you what. I have gotten, and this blows my mind, now, like I used to be like, tell my age, but now I won't, because it's just funny to see what people guess.
Uh-huh.
Somebody said, you're 30, right? I said, what? Like, 30's not old. But they're like, yeah, aren't you 30? I'm like, just keep guessing.
Yeah.
Like, I've gotten some wild guesses. I'm like, okay, let's just keep it a mystery and see what people think.
I get a big age range, too, like, especially when I wear a hat and you can't see my lovely forehead wrinkles. But people never know how old I am. But also, it doesn't, I mean, I'm a big proponent of it doesn't matter. And we talk about that all the time on this podcast because...
Yeah.
You know, but I'm proud that you are on the younger end and you're already writing such great songs, and you like your voice is already, you're very settled to me. You're very settled into who you are as an artist and what your sound is and what your style is. And that's very unique to be your age and to know that.
Well, I appreciate that. That really means a lot. And, you know, getting into this, that was always my goal, is I wanted to have my own unique thing, just like all the guys and gals that I listened to growing up did. I mean, I grew up on a range of music, not just country. I mean, I grew up on all sorts of music in general, metal is like my favorite genre of music. Like,
that's amazing.
I listen to rock, metal, and I listen to a ton of rap, like more than I do country, but I play country. So it's like, it's a little bit of a change of style. Like, I'm a big metalhead.
Who's your favorite metal band?
I don't know, honestly, because I listen to all different kinds. I mean, the music I grew up listening to and my dad, you know, that kind of metal was like Motley Crue, and there was some 90s Metallica in there. So, I mean, anything from that, you know, hair metal, I don't want to get off too far because I'm truly not good at subgenreing any sort of music, specifically metal.
Oh, I'm the worst at it.
Yeah, I mean, on the side, I mean, I like Motley Crue and stuff like that, but that was what my dad listened to, and that's really how all my inspiration came. I mean, even on the countryside of things, I mean, when I was growing up, my dad was listening to a lot of Merle Haggard and, you know, anything from, I mean, 50s all the way up to the modern day kinds of music, and my mom was more the modern day country kind of person in the household. But my dad listened to, you know, classic metal, classic rock, classic country, but he also listened to Texas country. So it's like I had all this different range of inspiration in my household growing up, and I had sisters that were older than me, so they were listening to, you know, I was listening to Lil Wayne at 5 years old.
Yep, my brothers are 7 years older than me.
And it's like I had all this different kinds of music to really bank off of. And I feel like that's where the inspiration on my end really came from. It's like I wanted to make something unique because I had so much. It wasn't just one style of music that was inspiring me. I mean, and then, you know, on the voice and stuff, I've always been compared to, like, you know, Randy Travis, Josh Turner. And while I take that as a compliment, it's like, well, thank you. Like, that's what I'm trying to do, is, like, create my own sound of what I've done. And I've had all my heroes growing up were great songwriters and, you know, the ones, you know, they still are. And it's like that's been my main thing getting into this, is I want to make something that's uniquely me, but I also want to write good songs. So
I know, and you asked me to co-write, which I thought was very cool, because I would love to do that sometime.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I think you have just a very amazing classic voice.
Thank you.
And I've obviously been listening to your stuff, and you busted me listening to your stuff one time.
I did. I don't even think you meant to post it.
I didn't.
Well, I mean, you posted it was a whiskey, and I'm like, oh, nice song in the background. It was one of my
it was one of your songs. I was jamming
well,
it
thank
out.
Thank you.
I was just me and my dog were listening to Ryder. But when I heard Velvet Chains, I mean, that is so cool. I was thinking about that because I'm about to go cut a new record, and I'm always kind of on the same train as you, which is like, I love to write songs, but if I find a song that I think is good for my voice and good for my, that I didn't write, then I'm not opposed to cutting it. That's totally fine.
Oh, not at all. And I'm the same way. And, you know, that was, Velvet Chains was in the very beginning of things on my end. And I cut that whole record with Daryl Dodd
the
producing chair, and man, he did a great job. But honestly, it was that kind of deal. It's like, this is my first introduction to the Texas scene. And I had a little bit of a, you know, having Daryl at the helm was kind of a way in to like, all right, here's, we're really going to help push you out there. And, you know, I love Daryl to death, and having him work on that was an honor. But it was really like, all right, we're going to introduce this stuff to the world, not just Texas country, but we're going to put it out everywhere. So it's like, let's do three of your originals and let's do one song that was something, you know, sort of an inspiration. Mm-hmm. And Velvet Chains was not my first choice. We were going to do like a Buck Owens song. And Daryl's like, hey, man, like, no sweat on this at all, but go check out Velvet Chains by Gary Morris. He's like, it's different. And at that time, I was a little bit kind of, I was very fresh. I had a lot of knowledge of the music industry and what to do, but it was kind of a curveball because it was like, okay, this song's like in the key of E and like a very high register of the key of E. Like, Daryl, I can't sing that. He's like, let's just sit down and see if we can make it your own. And that's what we did with that. And we dropped the key to B flat and just made it way different than the original, but we still paid homage to the original. And that's, you know, one of my favorite things to do. Even now, we still cover songs in the show, and I always love to kind of give the fans and the people in the audience, like, hey, here's the songs that I wrote, but here's the songs that helped make me the writer I am today. And that's what we wanted to do with Velvet Chains, and I really feel like we've done that.
Oh, so, you did it. It's rad. I love Double D so much. That's my dude.
Same.
We have laughed so hard together, and one time they asked me to host one of the Texas Music Award shows, and Daryl Dodd was my co-host.
Oh, I bet that was great.
Everybody probably thought I sucked at hosting, but I was laughing so hard at what Daryl was saying off the mic. Or like any time I was up there by myself, I'd look over and he was just doing something ridiculous. Like, he's so funny. And he kept calling his microphone his magic mic, and like doing, it was right when Magic Mike came out, and he kept doing like these little dances backstage. And
Daryl is a gem.
He's the best. Is he doing your new stuff or?
He's honestly, on this end of things, he's not producing this new stuff, but we've actually, you know, Daryl is still a guiding light in my life. And he's just, oh, did the sign fall?
Kyle, is it fine? CH Lone Star promo. Sorry.
Yeah, there's a little shout
it's
out
fine.
Right there.
We love them. We need a gaff tape sponsor.
Yeah. Because that stuff's expensive.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Didn't interrupt.
No, you're good. No, Daryl, he's not producing this next record, but he's still kind of helping me. I mean, Daryl's always been, I mean, ever since I was a kid getting into Texas country music, Daryl was always kind of the guy because of my dad. I mean, my dad played in a band as well, and he got to open for Daryl a long time ago, and he's like, Daryl Dodd this. I'm like, man, who is this guy? Like, as a kid. And then to be working with him, it's pretty cool. But now we've kind of, it's almost like a brotherhood. I always say that me and Daryl are as close to being brothers as you can be without being blood related. I mean, that guy and I have just, we've become so close over the past 2-3 years of working together. So now, I mean, honestly, it's almost like a guidance thing. He's really been a big mentor on this next project, and I mean, helping out and just being a guiding light to me. I mean, he's always been like that, but he's really being that now. Because I mean, as you progress in the industry, things are going to happen, and Daryl's seen it all, and he's really been a big mentor on this next project. So he's still a part.
Great. Well, Daryl Dodd texted me, I think when I was at LJT, and I said, it was a blue text. I said, Daryl Dodd, did you get an iPhone?
He got an iPhone.
Because he has had a flip phone until literally probably like last year. He's had a flip phone.
No, I mean, they literally, we were in the studio one day, and he pulls out this iPhone. I said, Daryl, what's that?
Yeah.
And so apparently, Daryl, you can back this up if you hear it, but apparently like, he was going to keep rolling with the flip phone, but I think they made him get a new phone.
Yeah. Whenever I took a picture with him, every time I'd see him, and if we ever took a picture, he would say, okay, you know, I'd take it on my phone, and then he would say, okay, email it to, you know, management@daryldodd.com, because I couldn't send it to Daryl to post it. I had to, like, email it to his manager, which is, it's so Daryl. It's so great. And
I loved it. I mean, it's,
I love it.
It's just perfect. Genuinely him. I mean, Daryl is such a cool, laid-back guy. I mean, I've learned a lot from hanging out with him for, you know, most of my career. It's been pretty cool. I mean,
that's awesome.
Flip phone Daryl. We call him Flip. So.
Oh my, really? Okay, this is the best. Well, last Daryl thing, whenever we were in the band, my very first band, we would be driving home after a gig late, and they would say, play the hits, and that was always Daryl Dodd. We played Daryl Dodd. So what's the new? So I'm not sure when this is going to air, but it's probably not too long after your new song comes out. And I don't know what it is. You didn't send it to me early like you're supposed to. Like as a best friend.
Well, I can do that right now if you would like me to grab my phone and you could even play a sneak peek on here. I mean,
dang.
I'm giving you full approval and whoever you know is a part to edit this
we'll
and you know put
Kyle.
A little sneak peek if you want, but. Yeah, we do have a brand new single coming out. It's kind of a change of direction. The music is, as you mature as a writer and as a musician, your songs are going to change. I mean, I'm sure you know that, and you've been at it a lot longer than I have. But still, I mean, I feel like you never stop growing as a writer. In this next season of my life, this next season of my professional life and my personal life, I feel like it's a lot different. It's a positive time of my life for sure, and these songs we're dropping, I'm very excited. It's a new chapter for me. We're taking kind of a step in a forward direction, but it's different kind of vibe on the music. I mean, it's still uniquely me, and it's still what I want to make music-wise, but it's, you know, we're taking a little bit of a, we're finally releasing an up-tempo song. That's what I'll say.
Dang.
Right there. It's not some sad country heartbreaker, which there's nothing wrong with that. I love that All My Heroes song for that, but it's like we're taking a step, and the song is still sad. There's y'all a little bit of a
yes,
a
that's
little
what
hint
I'm
there.
Talking about.
But
sad
it's an
songs
upbeat, sad
happy.
Song, so it doesn't sound as sad. But it's got a title, and I'll go ahead and drop the title right here because I want to make sure the title does not mislead anybody, because it has. and the personal people I've told, they're like, "What's the name of that song again?" The name of the song is "Tired of the Radio." And I am a big advocate for radio. I love my radio, folks. This song is not about being tired of the radio, like in that way. So basically, I'll tell the short backstory. I won't ramble too much because I do that. But the backstory is basically there's this guy, typical. He's heartbroken over a girl.
Typical.
And the girl leaves him. But his remedy to, you know, get over this heartbreak is to drive and listen to the radio. But it seems like in the storyline of this song, all that comes on the radio when he's wanting to get over this girl is sad songs. So it's basically, you know, he's tired of the radio, man. Like, play something happy. Come on.
Love it.
So there's y'all a little short backstory to kind of clear things up about the title.
I love that. Well, I'm a great writer.
Thank you. It
means
a lot.
Writer. How many times have you got that?
A lot, actually. But I will give you credit for that.
Okay, thank you. Well, it wasn't good. Don't give me
that
credit
for that.
That was
a great joke. But I might put it on a shirt.
Aw, I'm a great writer.
We'll talk about that. Not that. There's another thing with my name that we might put on a shirt.
Oh, no.
And it's not bad. It's not dirty. It's nothing.
Did you see my mind go immediately
yes,
to the
I
gutter?
Did. When you said, oh, no, I said, oh, she just took that to the gutter. So basically, my name is very commonly misspelled, and you may have dealt with that too. I don't know.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
But I feel like, you know, as a musician with a somewhat kind of more complex name, it can be very confusing to people. And lately, my name has been getting misspelled a lot, and I have no problem with it. I think it's great. I think it's funny, and I always find a way to have fun with it. But I'm like, what if we came up with merch that was like Uncle Becca's trucker hats.
Uh-huh.
I want to get with her and make this, but I want to do three different spellings of my name. I want to do, so the common ones are R-H-Y-D-E-R, R-I-D-E-R, and then R-Y-D-E-R, which is actually how you spell it. And I want to do that and then cross out the top two and put a circle around the actual spelling. I just think it'd be fun, but that's...
I love that.
Common misspellings. It's all in good fun.
Flatland Cavalry has one like that, but...
What's theirs?
It's a sticker.
I haven't seen that.
It's a sticker, but it's like...
I don't want to copy nobody.
Flatland... help me. Yeah. Listen.
That's great.
Any way that
I don't
want to
copy them, but
that, like, they have a sticker. I can't even think of misspellings. I'm so tired today.
Same.
Anyway.
I didn't want, see, now that you say that, I'm like, I don't want this to be mean. Like, should I even say this? But
no,
I don't think it's mean.
No,
I think it's fun.
Well, it's your fault for putting a silent Z in there. You know, you shouldn't have done that.
I guess so.
I'm just kidding. No, well, it's been such a pleasure chatting. Look at it. My dog loves you. And
Whiskey's
I've just.
My favorite.
I just have been, you know, listening to your voice in my headphones when I was driving all over West Texas this weekend, and I'm a fan, and I'm so glad that you came to our backyard to do this.
Well, thank you all for having me. It's been an honor.
We will write sometime.
Yes.
And I can't wait for the new song. Y'all check it out, because by the time this is out, I think it's going to be out. So
next couple weeks.
Tired of the Radio.
RyderGrimes.com. That's right. You got it right.
R-Y-D-E-R. This ain't no backstage writer. Hey.
See, I didn't even know until recently that Rider was spelled R-I-D-E-R. Uh-huh. I thought it was Writer with a W.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I texted my manager, and he's like, Rider, and spelled it, you know, like my name, but with an I. I'm like, oh, I've been typing this wrong to venues my whole life. Thank you.
I mean, well, you're just a baby.
I know.
Okay?
I know. I'm learning.
Just a baby. It's okay to
he
learn
helped
things.
Me out.
Well, I'm a fan. High five. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Kyle.
That was a great time.
Over and out.
I was trying to forget you, running the highway down, blaring that FM. Nothing left to hold on to, so I went and left that town. You left me for him. Should've known it from day one, but you're always gonna run, and now I'm coming undone. I'm getting tired of the radio. Every mile I put between us is a song I know that you sang in the car when I still had your heart, and it's breaking me down to know I can't outrun you on this road. I'm getting tired of the rain.